Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Forsyth Sports 365 podcast featuring the South Forsyth football program. I'm Greg Golden. I got a couple of people hanging out with us this morning, getting ready to talk to the coach. Doug Thomas is in the house. What's up, Doug?
How are you doing, Greg? It's great to be here on a Wednesday, sit with Coach, and looking forward to it.
And we got a special guest in today's Coach's Corner. Mike Newsom's on hand. What do you say, Mike?
Hey, man, glad to be on board. First opportunity to get to do this, and always happy to be part of the program and look forward to today.
Yeah, this is your first Coach's Corner. We're glad to have you aboard. And, of course, the head coach of the War Eagles, Troy Morris. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good morning, and thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for joining us. All right, gentlemen. Doug, why don't you lead us off into the program today? What you got? First question for Coach.
Well, first, obviously, like I said, glad to be here. Glad to have Mike with us, and always a pleasure to have Coach with us on a Wednesday morning. Coach, obviously, not the result we wanted. You know, if you looked at the score, and if you pulled up one of the sports apps or something, or the newspaper, saw 6-3, the baseball team or the softball team played, but obviously it was a football game, a tight one. So before we get into it, maybe just like we did last time, just do a recap of what, the game, and then we'll just go into some things.
Well, it was a hard-fought game. It was really hot on Friday. I thought our kids held up pretty well. Both teams, I thought, did a good job just competing and getting after each other. It was a defensive battle. We had some chances. We had a few chances to score. They had a few chances to score as well. And I thought both defenses, they kind of had a bend and don't break type of deal there. We missed a field goal right before half, which could have tied the game up. We still had a few penalties that we're trying to clean up. I think that area was better. And then there at the end of the game, second half was kind of a back and forth a little bit. Both teams moved the ball decent. And then, like I said, they had the bend and don't break kind of philosophy. And then we had a shot there at the end. I thought our kids battled and just to get ourselves down there with a chance and never quitting. Defense holding them out there at the end, and then offense moving the ball all the way down there with a shot. So saw a lot of good stuff. Still got some things we got to clean up and just trying to improve each and every week.
Yeah, so when you look at I want to start with the defense. You like to talk about the bend, don't break. So the defense, I thought improved very well. So I thought they played a good game for week one. I thought they improved greatly in week two. But it was definitely a bend, don't break. I mean, when you look at Harrison, they moved the ball a lot. That wing tee when they went into it, that, what I always call it, try to frustration or, that type of offense. What was the biggest struggle of being able to, get them? Because that number 12, he just ran the ball over the place. But there's just something about that wing tee that I call it, it's trying to be a deception type thing or whatever. But they moved the ball down quite a bit.
Well, it comes down to a lot of reading your keys and also you have to win the line of scrimmage. And there was just – honestly, there was times up front we didn't play as good as we could have. I thought we read our keys really well. And on the back end, I thought we played great. I thought that our DBs came up and made some really nice hits, dislodged the ball a couple times, caused some turnovers. And then they had a receiver, number 7. He's a special player. I mean, he causes everybody problems, and we essentially shut him down. So we forced them to run the football, and like I said, I thought that they did move the ball. That's a hard offense just to not allow them any yards, as much misdirection and how they come off. And their O-line, I thought they were good. But like I said, we're going to play better up front in this in moving forward. But once again, our kids just kept fighting. They never quit. And, they get down to our 1-yard line or wherever it was, and we get a turnover down in there. And to me, that's just – you got to have that kind of attitude. You just never give in. And this field's 100 yards long. And if they're going to score, they got to cross that goal line. And you got to defend it until they do. And so I was proud of our kids for hanging in there and fighting.
So what do you do when you hit one where their front line on both sides was very good? They were big. They were some big guys. So how do you handle that? How does Coach Arnett handle that? And also on the offensive side, we'll get to that. But, when you are so different in size, where you're so much smaller, you might mean you're quicker, but when those guys get their hands on you, you're not. Because one thing that you definitely saw was, it was the linebackers, corners, and stuff that were making a lot of the tackles and everything.
Well, defensive line-wise, we have to stay low. We have to use our hands. We have to fire off the football. I think there were times the other night we were thinking a little bit because that wing tee, there's so many different kinds of blocks that can come at you. And guys pulling and things like that, that if you start thinking and stand up, it can hurt you. And we did that a few times the other night. Instead of being more aggressive, and that's one of the things we focused on this week, the first thing we have to do is win up front and then worry more about our technique. So moving forward, hopefully our guys are able to do that. Once again, that's something that we really stressed throughout this week.
You know, that's another thing, too, when you have an offense like Harrison's that ran mostly the wing tee, it also consumes a lot of time. I mean, that clock continues to run and run. But, yeah, like you said, it was a bend-don't-break defense. And, you know, and then down there on the one-yard line, I mean, I couldn't see who made a hit or what happened or whatever, but all I know is that ball was rolling around and we got the ball inside the one-yard line, which was really a turning point to that game because that, you know, that obviously turns it into a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think – Well, I mean, I know now from the film, I wasn't sure what exactly happened on Friday night, but Jaeger went in there and everybody, you know, kept fighting right there, created a little bit of a pile, and then Jaeger went in there and took it from him, I believe is what happened. I don't know if he hit it, just took it from him and made it fall and then get it. I'm not sure, but Jaeger caused it. And I think that's his third turnover in two games or something like that, or maybe he had a couple in the scrims. I can't remember. I just know he has a lot of turnovers. He's had an interception. He's had his forced fumbles. He's just done a lot over there. And that was a huge play for us. And then the very next, I think it was the next play, we throw a ball out of there and get it out from our own end, which was a big play from our offense. That's what I'm saying. These kids just, they're believing. And, you know, these non-region games, our goal is to get better every single week. Of course, we all want to win. Winning is what, you know, it makes you feel better at the end of the day. But we got to keep our eyes focused on getting better and improving from one week to the next.
Yeah. I know one question I will have to ask, obviously, that when that turned over to offense, and you're right, the play, and I believe, was that KK Jackie, which he made a couple outstanding catches again. But I know one question I have to ask because it'll come up. We're inside the one-yard line, and I know the play clock was running dead. What was the reason for taking the timeout versus taking an 8-inch penalty, 10-inch penalty?
That was screwed up by me. I called it, and as soon as I did, I was like, I turned to Coach Aycock, and I said, what'd I do? And I screwed that up. So that was on me and nobody else. That was a bad call to ref. Saw the clock and I hit a timeout. And I thought that was a dumb thing to do.
I figured that'd be your answer, but it is one. I didn't ask if people would be like, why are you not asking that question? So I figured that was the answer. Nobody is. That's for sure. Mike, I'm going to ask, but Mike, I'll let you go if you have any specific defensive questions or anything.
Well, on the defensive side, I agree. The bend but don't break defense is effective, especially when you get turnovers inside in your red zone, and I thought that was real key, and that's indicative of how Coach Arnett's got those players playing. What I'd really like to do is shift a little bit to the offense, if I may, and one of the things that I think was a big play was Aycock threw a beautiful pass down the left sideline and hit the receiver, and it was one of those perfect passes that hits you in exactly the right spot, and somehow it's not connected. How do you get your players to get to the next play and not dwell on something that was negative? How do you get them to forget that play and go on to the next one?
Well, we practice that way. I mean, this is football, man. It happens at any level. We're not going to be perfect. Guys are going to make mistakes, and when you do, you can't dwell on it. You got to fix it, move on, and that was one of those deals where he just didn't catch it, you know. So we expect him. We talked to our team a lot about redemption, redeem it. When you do make a mistake, redeem it. And the way you redeem it is you keep playing as hard as you can and try to make a play later, whether it's later in that game or the next game or whatever. And that's what I love about football. It teaches you so much about life. In life, you're going to get knocked down. Things are going to go bad every once in a while. How are you going to respond to that? And how you respond is more important than anything to me as a football coach for these young men. Is teaching them that, you know, when you make a mistake, you can't pout, you can't point fingers, you can't do any of that. You got to move on and make a play. Be ready to make the next play because that's what they're going to remember. Everybody's going to remember what you did after that. That's what we try to enforce with our guys. I think that's just an important life lesson, and hopefully, if anything else, we teach our guys that.
You know, it's something you say that. There's I was with a camp plus with Adam down at Alabama. There's a pretty good coach back there, Nick Saban, and he ain't bad at all. And that was one thing that I'll never forget that he said. He goes, in a game or whatever it is, he goes, I don't judge you by what you did in that play if you made the mistake. I judge you on how you react and what you do afterwards and how you learn from it. So absolutely agree, and that's great that you're preaching that type of stuff to them. From the offensive side of the ball, I mean, the running game was tough. That front three, I mean, they really did. They did a good job. And what that did, that freed up their linebackers and everything. And so maybe give a little walkthrough assessment of the offense and then, you know, on it and what you were trying to maybe change do during the game.
Well, I'll just be up front. We got to be more aggressive up front with our front guys. I think we're positioning ourselves a lot instead of coming off and attacking. So that's been a big focus of ours for this week, and the guys know it, that they've been challenged. That's the first part. When you're up front on the O-line, you just got to be nasty. You got to be physical. It's almost a war up there. It's the trench. It's called the trenches for a reason. Offensively, adjustment-wise, in the second half, we spread them out a little bit more to try to run it, to try to loosen the box up some, and it helped. We were able to get a little bit more running lanes in there. But you're right, they were good up front, but they, you know what, everybody we play is good. So we've got to be able to match that intensity and come off the football and win that line of scrimmage. That's a big focus of ours, and hopefully we're able to do that moving forward.
You know, when you look at, I mean, it's a game that obviously was super tight. You mentioned the missed field goal. It just seemed like that one, because obviously it was one, they were coming on the field. I mean, they did have time to do it, but just – as we talked about, the whole operation has been perfect. That one just seemed off, and it's going to happen. You know, it was a very unusual kick from Davis, everything. So, I mean, obviously a big part of the game, so I'm sure that's something you guys will work on going out there. But there's not much you can do about that.
No, I mean, we didn't have any timeouts left. The clock's running, but yet there was still time. So we had to get the field goal team out there. You're right. I think they still felt a little rushed, and they really didn't need to. And so I don't know if some of them didn't realize how much time we still had left. But you're right, it just didn't feel quite like it normally does. But and why it went right, who knows? Davis, you know, usually 10 times out of 10, he's going to hit that. But once again, that's one of them deals where it just didn't go our way. So I was proud of Davis. He didn't get down on himself or anything like that, and he came back and hit one later.
Well, I tell you what, this is a battle of two good kickers, that's for sure. Theirs had a leg as well. You know, when you look at the game, you're going along, you know, honestly – towards the end, it really looked like we were not going to have that shot. I'll be honest with you. I was flat out surprised when their coach down there, look where we're at with, you know, the timeouts and no timeouts or anything. And I was shocked when he threw the ball. I just thought that was the only thing to me they couldn't do was throw the ball. So, I mean, but then everything fell into place, throw the ball. So it stops the clock. And then all of a sudden, a fumble. I believe Cole Yeager came up with that one too, didn't he? Was it Cole? I believe it was. Was it? I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was.
I get the series confused. There was one there where they missed the field goal.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting it, and there was a turnover.
At the very end. Yeah, he got that one. Yeah. And but I will tell you, you know, it's just been the turnaround. I mean, take that drive. So walk us through that last drive, because that was one that looked like we're stopped, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's where, you know, we talk about, you know, Cade, you know, obviously we've talked in the past about Cade growing into this position. We'll talk about the last play in a few minutes. But then, you know, the scramble. Walk us through that last drive.
Our kids just kept fighting. You know, we got sacked there. We had a play. I think that was, did we get the holding call on that one too? We hit a huge play, get a holding call. But anyways, the kids just kept playing, and then Cade scrambles out to his right, keeps his eyes up, and then finds Dash that got behind the defense there. And that was a big time completion. And I was hoping he'd go score right there. He was close. He barely got ran out of bounds. I think there was also a pass interference in there. I don't remember the exact sequence of everything that went on. But I just remember the kids just kept believing and kept fighting, regardless of the situation. I know we kind of went back and forth, good and bad, but they just kept believing and fighting and managed the clock pretty well there. We got all the way down to the 8 with 16, I think it was 16 seconds left to go. So probably had a couple shots at it. And unfortunately it was just – a little underthrown there, and it just it didn't end the way we all wanted it to end. But like I said, our fight and our kids, and hopefully we learn from it and grow from it. And once again, this is all just a process to get ready for our region games.
Yeah. When you look at, you're right, 16 seconds left on the last play. The only two things you don't want to happen: throw it to Harrison or get sacked because you don't have time. And you know, so those are things that. I know you'll work on, because it definitely, I mean, the ball was thrown short. It's one of those, either want to throw it out of the back of the end zone if he's not open or not.
These kids are playing super hard. You know, unfortunately, things just didn't go their way. On that last pass, I do have a question about that. The interception, is that a play that you run in practice that works for you pretty good in practice?
Yeah, we definitely practice that.
Coach, just taking off what Greg was talking about there in the last play of the game, is I imagine during the week you guys practice certain downs and situational football, and I'm sure you have a series of plays that you have when you get down and say, if I'm in this position, I'm in this position, we're down here in the goal line, and just walk through a little bit about how you guys deal with that. And I'm sure those are key plays that you have, and that's one that you have utilized and maybe looked at film and felt like that had a chance to work.
Yeah, we ran that play this summer. We ran it throughout practice, and we liked the coverage that we had. And it was open. It was there. It was just underthrown just a little bit. So we liked it. We liked the call. We liked everything about it except the result. And like I said, Cade knows it. He knew it. We talked about it. His coach just left it short. So that happens. So we're going to learn from it, like I said before, and we're going to grow from it. And we've practiced it, practiced that throw some more this week. So that's how you get better, and that's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, that to me is a great thing when you see that it was open. It was just execution, and that's something you can work on. So after that kind of thing, obviously, Cade, you know, is upset. The offense is upset. How do you handle that situation, talking not only to the offense but to Cade as well?
Yeah, I mean, I played that spot, you know, back in the day. I know what that's like. You know, you live with it. You get all the glory, and then, you know, unfortunately, when things don't go right, you get a lot of that too. And it's a terrible, terrible feeling. I just tried to pick Cade up. You know, it just happens sometimes. You got to learn from it and grow from it. I told him, you know, you're probably going to be in that situation again later in the year. And, you know, now, you know, he knew at the time. He knew as soon as he let it go that it wasn't going to be the throw he wanted it to be. I said, we just know moving forward, we got to learn from it and get in that situation again. You know, what to do with that. Just use any kind of a situation that doesn't go our way. We got to learn from it, improve from it, get better from it. And when it shows up again later, we do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike? Coach, I wanted to jump in there real quick because I think that's a real important point. This was where I was going with the question about that one completion that he should have made and it just didn't connect. And then it was a little bit different story on the interception. So you've had a little bit of inconsistency in the quarterback play, and I think that has to do with experience and just learning. And I'm glad to hear you talk about how you want to pick that guy up, because one of the things I heard was, you know, well, we missed a field goal, that cost us the game, or we threw an interception, that cost us a game. And there's no one play that cost us a game. How do you translate that to your team?
We've never said that in our program. We're never going to come down and say, hey, it was this play or that play. It's a game. I mean, it's four quarters. There's a lot of plays that go on out there. And there's a lot of yards that can be gained and lost throughout the game. So to come down and say it's this play or that, you can't say any of those things. Unfortunately, that was the last one. So it's the one that everybody saw. But that's not what cost us the football game. We had lots of opportunities in this football game to score and get up and do some different things. And it's a lot of things we can clean up and get better at. So there's nothing like that going on in our program. It's all about growing and getting better and learning and redeeming it. That's what we're always going to focus on.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's exactly right, because you know, you see the fight in those kids and how they're willing just to give it all out there on the field. And I think that's a testament to what you guys talk about, and that you don't allow that to enter the program. So I think that's really cool.
There's no doubt. I mean, there's a combination of things, but that also gives you things to work. I mean, there's not only all those plays, the mistakes, but there's also penalties. We still got to clean those. I'm sure as much you talk about penalties and starting the game with a penalty, your blood pressure probably just shot up like you didn't. And we had another personal foul, you know, hit out of bounds. So those are things that you'll work on. And hopefully, obviously, let's move on. We've got a very good North Oconee team. I mean, they're ranked very high. And for one of your old coaches, Coach Hawkins, is on the squad. They even have, I mean, good Lord, they have David Pollock as a coach. He's, you know, former UGA and ESPN guy and everything. So let's walk through and talk a little bit about North Oconee and what you expect this week.
Yeah, they're a well-coached football team. They have a quarterback that he's a very good player. They're on offense. They do a lot of really good things. They get in a bunch of different formations. They play fast. Defensively, once again, they run a lot of different coverages, well coached. They play hard. So we expect it to be a good football game on Friday night. Our whole non-region schedule is filled up with a bunch of good football teams, which allows us, I think, just to continue to improve each and every week. You know, we're facing quality people. We're seeing some different types of offenses and defenses. So we're excited about the opportunities. So it's going to be, like I said, Coach Art does a good job over there, and they're going to be here, be ready to play. And so will we. So it should be a good high school football game.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope this weather holds off, because I tell you what, we've been having some storms in the evening. Good thing you're practicing in the mornings. I think you're still doing that, because there's just I think, you know, we've had a lot of weather delays in some of the other games being played here.
Coach, you keeping an eye on the weather? You know, we got to try. What is her name? Adina coming up is going to go through Tampa. It looks like it's blowing out near Jacksonville, but. You know, we're not certain. There's going to be some hangovers, some leftovers. Are you keeping an eye on the Weather Channel?
Let me tell you something. My Weather Channel app on my phone, I'm wearing that thing out. I look at that thing so much, from whether it's 100 degrees and wet bulb and the rain, and if it's coming in the morning or the night, when do we need to practice? I'm constantly looking at that thing. I actually made a comment to my wife last night. I said, I haven't done nothing but look at the Weather Channel for probably the past month with trying to figure out practice plans and things like that. I've watched the hurricane. I don't think it's going to affect us Friday night. I don't think. And we've done a pretty decent job of being able to schedule around some of the weather. It's gotten us a couple times. We've gone inside, things like that. But I'm going to tell you something, man, our kids have handled it great. When we go inside, this team right here is so focused on improving and paying attention. Sometimes you go to the gym and kids just have a hard time really focusing in. And then these guys have really done a great job. I'm not just saying that. They've done a great job of paying attention and getting something out of that. So hopefully that hurricane stays away and we have a beautiful night on Friday night. It ain't going to be 100 degrees, thank goodness, regardless.
The biggest thing we've been dealing with, I know we did, and it actually started last week with the JV game, is that because of the heat, like I said, thank heavens, it was hot, the lightning. So we had a lightning delay last week in the JV game. Last night, the middle school game here, there were three delays, and it finally got called at 8 o'clock. It just never would go away. So hopefully we don't run into that. But we're looking forward to Friday night. I will tell you, it's middle school night here, so we're having all of our middle schoolers that are part of the football team and cheer in Sharon Springs Park here. They'll line the tunnel for your guys to help, you know, create a little excitement before the game and everything. So we'll be here looking forward to it.
All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time for the Coach's Corner today. Mike, thanks for joining us. Great to have you in here. And we're looking forward to your call Friday night. You're going to have a special guest. Tell us who's going to help you call the game Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be Bobby Misos. He's a communications student. And so with you being out with your surgery, I'm going to call the game, and I needed some help. And so it turned out Bobby was available, and with his broadcasting experience, he should be a great addition to the team for the week, and look forward to making the call with him.
Yeah, I want to give a little hats off to Mrs. Misos, too. We ran into her under the bleachers as we were setting up last week, and she kind of gave us the nod. You know, this guy's a communications major, and he could be a big help in the broadcast. So we're going to take a little opportunity in a little while here. I'm going to have a conversation with him, and I'll have a little bit of a write-up about who he is and what he's going to bring to the table. But I think it's great. Listen, we love giving communications majors a little opportunity here on this program, so it should turn out to be pretty good.
Definitely looking forward to the broadcast Friday night. I enjoy it both ways. We're going to miss you in the booth, and most importantly, we wish you a lot of luck in your surgery. We hope it goes exactly how it's supposed to be, and that there's no complications, and that you feel good. You know, you don't need to worry about Friday night. We're going to get through it, and we're going to deliver a good product like we always try to do.
Well, I am a little nervous, so I appreciate that. Keep me focused. I guarantee you, my wife will get me to the hospital, so we'll get that part taken care of. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for hanging out with the Coach's Corner. We've got a ball game for you Friday night. 7 o'clock is broadcast time. 7:30 is kickoff. Make sure you tune in. Mike will have the play-by-play and the special guest, Bobby Misos, as we bring that to you live Friday night right here on ForsythSports365.com. We'll see y'all then.